You know, in speaking to you about the Word of the Lord, talking to you about God's Word, it would be so wonderful if people could know and understand how important it is to hear the Word of God. If the world tonight knew the importance of hearing the Word of God, they would be listening for the Word of God all the time. All the time they would be listening for it. See, the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation of a time when the Word of God won't be heard anymore. The Bible speaks of this being the voice of the bridegroom. Even all religious people, they're not in the bride. They're not with these things. I had a night vision the other night, and a man come up before me, and I was trying my very best to get him in coordination with the brethren. I tried my best to get him to coordinate with the brethren. I couldn't do it. Whereas it's true that I can't. I tried to do that with this particular person. He will not come to church. He will not work with the brethren. And I've got a number of them like that. And yet they want the benefits of the campground. They want the benefits of all the things that we have. But anyway, I kept trying to get him to correlate and coordinate with us, and I couldn't. So finally, I thought I'd get just a little stronger with him, and something said to me, said, no, leave him alone. Said he's got his own thing to do. Said he, and the Lord showed me he was not part of this. And I looked to see what he was not part of. And from all indications as to what I understood of the vision and what I saw, it indicated that he was not part of the bride of Christ. So I purposed in my heart, I thought, well, I'll leave off with it from now on. I won't bother him anymore. From now on, that'll be it with me. I feel this way. I don't ever cut anybody off because I don't want to be cut off. Now, I don't just try to do something to be arrogant, to hurt people, or to say things to cut people. That's not my job. But it is a true fact that when God shows me something of an individual as to what he has to say about it, I don't bother with them anymore. And they may come to church. They're welcome to come to church. They're welcome to be here to hear the word of the Lord, whatever. But you'll never see me call on them as a rule. You'll never see me call on them for anything or lean in their direction or put them in any kind of position or whatever. Because the Bible said if you spare any of them, they'll be pricks in your side. And sure as I have ever spared one of them down through my lifetime, it has come to pass that they have been a thorn in my side. So I don't mess with them. I just let them do what they want to, come in and out whenever they get ready, go where they want to. See, but I said that to say this, the man will not heed the word of God. He will not heed the word of God. The Bible speaks of the Jews having the word of God, but it said that it did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. You can have the word of God. You can lay it upon the shelf. It can gather dust. Or you can have the word of God and learn to memorize it. But it won't profit you unless you can mix it with faith. And to be able to mix the Word of God with faith, you've got to be activated by the Spirit of God. Because if you're not activated by the Spirit of God, you cannot believe. For the Bible says all men have not faith. So to have faith, it takes the activation of Christ. And you've got to hear the Word of God, and you've got to have a love for the Word of God. As I say in the book of Revelation, it says, and the voice of the bridegroom shall be heard in her no more at all. No more at all. There's coming a time when God's going to stop speaking to you. In that when the preacher preaches to you and the preacher speaks to you, it's not him speaking. It's the voice of the bridegroom. For the Bible said it is not him that speaketh, but God that speaketh from within him. And that all of them from the child up shall be taught of God. But after a while, that voice of the bridegroom that's speaking through him, it won't be speaking anymore. It'll stop. And the Bible said, and the voice of the bridegroom shall be heard in her no more at all. So people get to where they do not want to hear the voice of the bridegroom. They don't want to hear the voice as to the word of God. You know, my words come from my voice. His words come from his voice. So then they get to where they don't want to hear the word of God. And when they get to where they don't want to hear the word of God, God withdraws from them and he doesn't give them the word of God anymore. He just takes the word of God from them and goes into another place. I go into the heathenistic places of Africa, and I realize that they got to where they did not want to hear the voice of the bridegroom, and God put them into darkness. It was there on the hill, a hill in India where Thomas was speared to death. Thomas, one of the disciples, preaching the gospel, according to history, preaching the gospel, they speared him to death. They didn't want to hear the voice of the bridegroom. So there in India, it went into darkness. It went into heathenism. And there's been nothing but plagues and sufferings and heartaches and sorrows for India and for Africa and the different places where these men went preaching the great gospel of Christ. And even over in Russia, when Andrew, I believe it is, that went into Russia, even there, when they didn't want to hear the voice of the bridegroom, God left them. And that's why those countries are in heathen darkness now. And now we're coming to the day of America. America is called the New World. It came into existence, as we say, as an empire after these other countries had set up as an empire. But now it's getting to where they don't want to hear the voice of the bridegroom. So God is turning them over to reprobate mind, to religious attire, that they may believe a lie and be damned. So it is very important to hear the word of God and to love the word of God, because the word of God is truth. The Bible said, my words are truth, they're spirit, they're life. And the Bible says that if you have not a love for the truth, I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. And I will send you strong delusions and I will cause you to believe a lie. And so then the people are getting to where they don't want to hear the word of God. They want to hear something as to what satisfies them. And the Bible said, having itchy ears, they heap to themselves philosophers as to teachers and whatever they want. So you've got to hunger and thirst after the things of God. You've got to do it. Someone would say, well, what is the importance of the word of God, Brother Pike? Well, the importance of it is that it is God. In the beginning was the Spirit that made himself a voice as to the word and was made flesh. It is God. And then besides that, the Bible says that God created the world by his word. And the Bible said God sent his word and healed them. And the Bible said by his word he cast out the unclean spirits. It's by his word that he created your body and spoke you into existence. And unless you can eat of this word, then that means you don't have any life in you. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh, and that the word was made flesh, and drink my blood, and that the blood is for the atonement, as to the blood of the word, as to the spirit. He said, if you don't do this, you don't have any life in you. So then man shall not live by bread alone, the Bible said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that is why the world is dying, is because it will not have the word of God. It takes a perverted form of the word of God, something that will agree with its philosophy or its societies of life. But when it comes to the pure, unadulterated word of God, it will not listen to the word of God. It will not conform to the word of God. And because of that, there is no life. People are withering up. They're drying up. Diseases and all kind of problems is coming upon them. Because the word of God is the ultimate of life. We must have the word of God. You must read the word of God, hear the word of God, or you must seek after the word of God, because without the word of God, you're nothing. You're nothing. It is spirit and it is life and the only form of life. And if you're going to have life, you're going to have it by the word. The word created you and gave you the breath of life. It's going to take the word to cause your life to continue, even to an eternal source of life. So then it's back to the word of God. That's why the preacher preaches the word of God. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak the word of God. He won't come with a lot of programs and a lot of ritualistics and a lot of things to introduce to you for church activity. He will come preaching the word of God because God has sent him. And the importance of this word is that there is no salvation without the word. You can't get to heaven without the word. You can't study and get into some kind of religious philosophy, join some kind of church, be some kind of a sacrificing person. You can't get to heaven by doing that. You can't buy your way into heaven. Peter was upset with some because he told them, said, you come after this thing as though it could be purchased by money. He said, your heart's not right with God and you're in the galls of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. So, see, the word of God, by the word of God comes faith. And it's by faith comes salvation. You're translated into the kingdom of God by the word of God. So everything hinges on the word of God. When you get to where you don't want to hear the word of God, you won't listen at the word of God, then you're gone because there's no hope for you. It must be, of necessity, the word of God. So then I speak to you in the name of the Lord tonight by the word of God. And I speak concerning these things. There are so many things that I'd like to say to you. I had a lot of things on my mind today. I would like to have said these things to you, but I don't know whether I can or not. People coming, especially after a day like this, they come, they're very tired. They're tired from the long day, and they come in their reverence with great respect. But they're still tired, and they're dull of hearing. And it's very difficult to be able to get anything over to them unless they become illuminated. Now, if I happen to start talking at different times, some will become illuminated, and because of that, their light will shine so brightly across the audience that others get into their light and they begin to relax and they begin to draw as to hear the word of God and the things of God. Reading in chapter 14, the book of St. John says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? These words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. As ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judah saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep your yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you, they will think that they doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Now, I want you to notice a few things that the Lord says to us here concerning the Word of God. He that loveth me, he that loveth me not, keepeth not any sayings, or not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine. Now, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So, Jesus said, it is very evident as to who loves him and who does not love him. I ask people a lot of times, I say, do you love God? They say, of course I love God. I say, do you really love the Lord Jesus? They say, of course I love the Lord. And they'll have a dispute with you. And they'll war with you. Like someone was telling me today of a woman that they know. The woman drinks beer, drinks whiskey, whatever, from the way it sounded. She does what she wants to do. But if you tell her she doesn't love the Lord, they say she'll just fly into a rage. But she doesn't love the Lord. For the Bible said, if you don't love me, it'll be known in that you won't keep my commandments. And when people keep not the commandments of God, then that means they don't love God. Somebody says, well, I just do this little thing on the side, Brother Pike, but I don't think that matters. Jesus said, if you keep not my word, then you don't love me. There's no need of you saying that you love God, and for me to say that I love God when you don't keep his commandments. One of the things of his commandments, he said, come out from the world and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. When you fail to come out from the world, then that means that you are not keeping his commandments. And that means that you don't love God. There's no need to say that you love God. There's no need to fly into a rage because somebody reproves you. You don't love God. Somebody would say, well, I'm not living right, Brother Pike, but I still love God. That's a lie. You don't love God. You say, but you hear me with my own lips. I say that I love God. I know that the Bible said, with your lips ye serve me, but your heart is far from me. So then, someone would say, but Brother Pike, you teach that what a man speaketh cometh out of his heart. I said, I love God. Didn't that come out of my heart? I truthfully say to you that it did. That lie came out of your heart. You lied. You said you loved him when you didn't love him. So then, the thing is, it does come out of your heart, but the thing that is the determining factor is whether or not it is truth when it comes out of your heart. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, doesn't the Bible say that it shall come to pass that everyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? It does. But the Bible also says that not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. So then that's a misunderstanding of the scripture to you. If I stand up here and I preach to you that everyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's all right. But then I have to preach it line upon line and precept upon precept to also say to you that not everyone that saith Lord, Lord shall be saved. Then whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, what are we saying? That whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, that is to do God's will. To do God's will. You say, where do you get that? God said to Paul, go down to the street called Straight. The man down there said, Paul, repent of your sins. Be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He called on the name of the Lord, washing away his sins as to an obedience. So then when you say calling upon the name of the Lord, you have to understand what God is saying. You have to have line upon line and precept upon precept. I tell you again as your minister that you don't love God when you don't keep his commandments. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I just do this little thing over here. I know, but that's contrary to God. And you know it's contrary to God. And all it takes is one willful contrary thing and you cut off from God. I said the other night, if you have one contrary thought, just one contrary thought, it is a willful contrary thought, you're cut off from God. It doesn't take two, just one thought. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So then you have one thought that is disobedient to God is a willful thing, you're cut off. You say one word, and the Bible said to speak one word against the Spirit shall never be forgiven in this world or the world to come. One word can cut you off from God. So you've got to wake up. You've got to understand that the Word of God is line upon line and precept upon precept. When the devil tempted Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment, he said, as it is written, cast thyself down from here, and he will give his angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against the stone. That was true, but Jesus line upon line said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, that is, he was saying, this thing is written for my benefit. God gives his angels charge over Brother Pike to watch over Brother Pike that when I have problems and when death strikes and problems strike, that God lifts me up and God pulls me out of this by the power of the angelic being that walks with me. God gives his angels charge concerning us. But that does not mean that I can go out and just get reckless and do the crazy, wild, ungodly things of the world and have the protection of God. I can't do that. Somebody said, well, I just mess around with a little smoking, and I mess around with a little lipstick and powder and paint, and I mess around with a little bit of the frolics and dressing, and I mess around with just a few television programs, and I mess around with a story or two out of the magazine, and I just go over to Six Flags once in a while to have me a jolly good time. But God understands all of those things, Brother Pike. God understands you're just old-fashioned. I guess I am a little old-fashioned, like the song that I wrote. I'm a bit old-fashioned because my Savior was old-fashioned too. So the Bible said, ask for the old past, so let's be old-fashioned. Don't move the landmarks of the old fathers. And the Bible said, you women dress as the women of old. And so then it looks like we've got to be a little bit old-fashioned and go back to the principles of this thing and go back to the right side of life and forget about the days of modernism. God is not a modern God. Satan is a modern God. He is the modern God. He's the one that says that you can cut your skirts off up above your knees and men can wear pants like they're melted and poured into them. He's the one that says you can have a little rock and roll on the piano and the organ and mix it in with the church services. He's the one that does all of these things as to say, have a good time in the world and let the love of the world be in you for it. It's all right, because that is the modern God. So then you do have a God. He's a modern God, but he's Lucifer, the God of this world, that saveth the things that be of the flesh. So he's protecting his interest. But we want to follow the Spirit. And the only way to follow the Spirit is to crucify the flesh with the affections of the lust thereof. The Bible said those that belong to God have crucified the flesh with the affection and the lust thereof. So we've got to put the flesh down. We've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We've got to come out from among them and be a separate people. We have to be different altogether. We are a peculiar people. The Bible said, zealous of good works. Why do we do this? Because the Word of God has commanded us to do this. The Word of God has told Brother Pike to do this. God has told me to tell you to do this as a minister of the Word of God. So then I tell you what the Word of God says. I am sin of God. Therefore I preach God's Word. Someone would say, I don't know whether you're of God or not. I don't know whether you come from God or not. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's Word. I speak to you the Word of God. And you ought to search out the Word of God. And you ought to try to find me an error to see if it is the Word of God if you have doubt. Because I speak the Word of God to you. So then God did send me. I am son of God because I speak to you the Word of God. I don't speak to you my own thoughts. If I was going to do my own thing, I would go according to the flesh. And I would follow after the things of the world. and the things of the flesh, just like every other preacher that preaches that way does. I would revel with the things of the world. I would indulge in the folly of the world, and I would get out there in the passions of the flesh, and I would follow after the gullible desires of the things of the world, as the fame and popularity and all the other things. And I wouldn't speak sharp to you. I wouldn't say anything cutting to you. I'd make sure that I got my hand into your billfold or into your purse to where I could get every dollar that you got, because I wouldn't take any chance of losing a one. I'd be sure to indoctrinate you, to tell you to love, 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 that you should love, love, love. It doesn't matter if that man is a whoremonger and that woman is a harlot. You love them and keep them in church, because I'll lose the tithe money if you don't. See, but I am sin of God. That's why I preach against those things. I hate those kind of things. Do you realize that when you take virtue out of the earth, that you're forcing God out? Do you know that Adam and Eve forced God out of their life by doing the things contrary to God? The word of God had said, thou shalt not eat thereof. The day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. But they ate of it anyway and forced God out of their life. And did you know that you're repeating the very same thing? God has given blood on the seat of atonement. He's given you grace. And he's emphatically stated to you that ye are to come out of the world, and ye are to be a separate people, and that you're not to touch the unclean things. And he said, if you do this, I'll receive you, saith the Lord. But if you do those things, then are you defiled, and you are contaminated. And God said, I will destroy you. For he that defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Like some of the ministers that we've warned, we give them warning, we've wrote them letters, or we have visited with them, or we've talked with them. They're falling all around us. See, things are happening to them all around us. This thing that happened to the Swaggin ministry not too long ago. He defiled the temple of God. And when he defiled the temple of God, God cut him off. It doesn't matter if he goes on preaching or whatever he says. Somebody said, well, he repented. That's all right. His repentance, but he's got no business in the ministry. No business at all. It's a matter of 10,000 times 10,000 follows him. He defiled the temple of God when he done what he did, because he had a knowledge. Now, if a man had been out in the world, had not had a knowledge, and got mixed up into harlotry, then it would not have been a defiling of the temple, because to defile the temple, it must be sin. And the Bible teaches that you cannot sin until you come to know what sin is. Therefore, it's just a daily practice with you. You don't know any better. See, and the defilement is, when it comes, the defilement is of the body, to the extent that the man knew better than to do that. When Jim Baker did what he did, I had warned him there and had written him a letter and warned him and Tammy, as well as Pat Robinson. And I told him the things that was happening, that God wasn't going to tolerate their foolishness. It was the frolic of the world. Now they tell me that Jim Baker is under, I don't know, a $50,000 bond. And they're talking about giving him 120 years in jail and charging him a $6 million something because of embezzlement or whatever it is. See, they defiled the temple of God. Somebody would say, well, that's good enough for that Jim Baker. But what about Jim Swaggart? What's the difference? Somebody said, but Jim Swaggart repented. So did Jim Baker. So did Judas. See, I am speaking from my heart, from the understanding of the word. The Bible says, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. The Bible said, if you're joined to a harlot, then are you a harlot? You're one with him. If he's your preacher, you're still a harlot if you're joined to him. So then there is but one way. That's the straight, clean, narrow, upright way. I've got people at Bethlehem that's just as dirty and filthy as Jim Swaggart was in the things he'd done, or Jim Baker. It's still the same thing. You're dirty in your spirit. You're dirty in your mouth. You're dirty in the things that you say. You're dirty-minded. But yet you still live here and live on the campground and do the things you ought not to do to bring the judgments of God upon you. And I say again, the Bible says, ye having seen the judgments of God upon others that have done this, how can you escape the damnation of hell, the Bible said, when you go and do the very same thing? So then it means that there's a straight, narrow way. There is the way that's called holiness. And the Bible said the eyes of the vulture had never seen this beautiful way of holiness. So then this is God's way. He said, follow me. And they said, how can we follow you? We don't know the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the word. I'm the way. I'm the voice of God. I'm declaring God. I'm the way. So then the preacher preaches to you. And it's not him that preaches, but it's God speaking from within him. And it's the voice of the bridegroom. So then I am the way, Jesus said. He that heareth my words, believeth on him that sent me, shall never come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So then, I say that it's a holy way. If I defile the temple, God will destroy me. You can defile the temple when you come to a knowledge of God. Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is a sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So then, when you come to a knowledge of God, then you can defile the temple and God will destroy you. This is why you see so many people burned up in fires and see people killed in wrecks and see all these horrible things that's happening. You know, we're here tonight, we're sitting here enjoying the wonderful word of God, but at the same time, there's millions of people around the world that's penned up like a bird in a cage. They're in the dungeon, they're behind bars, the nerves are going all to pieces with them. Think about this. I just want you to think on this for just a few minutes. So often, I praise God. And I say, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'll just be sitting around. And I say, I'm so thankful for your blessings, God. And I get to thinking like this. I think all those people, like there in Russia, that was the heap upon heap coming down upon them, pinned in, couldn't get out from under that thing. And then those that where they have minds to cave in, and all of a sudden here you are pinned in there. See, you would go berserk. You're all of a sudden pinned in that mind, and nobody knows you're in there maybe. And if they do, they can't get to you. And you know you're going to starve to death, or you know that you're going to smother to death, and these kind of things. And I thought, oh my God, how hideous this is happening to human beings all over the world. And I think, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, that it hasn't happened to me. I've been in caves, numbers of caves in my lifetime. And I thank you, God, that it didn't happen to me. We went into one right over here in Israel on this last trip. It could have happened to us because we went way in and went way down like this. And there's a lot of digging and a lot of stuff in there. Could have caved in on us easy. And I knew that, but I took the chance because I wanted to go down to the bottom of it and find out what was going on there. See, and I say, I thank you, God. And then I'll be sitting around and I'll think, Lord, oh my God, it'll dawn on me. I think, what if I went blind? And I think, my God, to be blind, to be in darkness. Oh my God, I'd have to feel my way around. Have to have somebody to lead me. I couldn't even go from the bed to the table. I would be blind. And I think, oh my God, how horrible, how horrible. And then I think, but this happens to people all the time. All over the world it's happening. It's happening to people. As a matter of fact, Brother Mike's sister, not too long ago, having been able to see, all of a sudden she went blind. See, what if you say, well, it couldn't happen to me, Brother Pike. It's happening to people every day. We should be grateful. Think of how horrible that would be. And yet somebody would say, well, I'm not blind, but some of you are a lot blinder than those that are in the natural. Because there has to be a natural person that's blind to show that there's spiritual blindness. Do you realize that if people would get right with God and there was no spiritual blindness, that every person's eyes would come open? Do you realize that? Do you realize that every person that would get right with God, every person that would get right and feed on the Word of God, that there would be no more starvation in the world? That the only reason there's starvation is a type, as in heaven, so in the earth? Do you realize that if every one of us got right with God throughout the world and come into the light of the resurrection, there would be no dead people in the world? There would be no dead people. For just as soon as we come to the light, the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Because we come to the light. All of these things, all of these hideous things, you're to blame for. You that will not line up with God, and you that will not live for God, you're to blame for. That's why God said the blood, all of the blood, even from righteous Abel, shall come down upon this generation, even them that crucified Christ, because you're to blame for it. See, you've been told, you know, and still you won't do right. You're the killer. You're the murderer. You're the one that caused the man to be blind. You're the one that caused the cave in. You're the one that caused the horrible, hideous pains as the cancer patient dies begging and pleading. You're the one that causes the soul to sink into hell when they're begging and pleading. You're the one. See, so then we need to heed God's word. You can't leave your television alone. You'd rather watch your television programs and let the whole world go to hell and let people die with cancer. And what you don't understand, folks, a lot of times the wreck and the heartaches and the troubles and the woes and whatever may be your own children. It may be your own flesh. It may be your own loved ones. And you're still willing to watch those dirty, filthy things, those scummy things that comes out of the wild imagination of Hollywood. When the Bible tells you as a natural person that you're to cast down imagination in your own life, and that you're to cast down those imaginations and bring every thought into the subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to meditate in His laws day and night, that your mind should be kept upon Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that God shall keep them in perfect peace that keep their mind stayed upon Christ, for all of the paths of God are peace. So then you have trouble, you have problems, you have heartaches. See, and you're to blame. You're to blame. So I preach the word of God to you. I bring the word of God to you. I tell you what the word of God says. But you've got to have your little things in life. You've got to cut off your corner in life. You've got to do the things that you want to do in life. And you've got to bring those things in to your life or your lifestyle. Doesn't matter what happens to other people. They can be pinned up in the cage. Something can happen to them. They can die or whatever. Why do I pray? Why do I pray? Because Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. And it says, ye ministers lay in the altar all night long and howl for the people. Pray for the people. For you're standing in God's stead to pray as an intercessor. Ambassadors for Christ when I go into the foreign countries or to the people of a foreign way of life, and pray because I am an intercessor. I am set there in His stead to beseech that God may have mercy upon them that are without. So then when I say these things, I preach the word of God. I believe in the word of God. I believe in the word of God. These two men that are coming in here, I sent them to the prison. They've just come back from the prison. I send them back to preach the word of God or to tell the word of God to those men. And those men are scared because they're behind bars in the very thing that we're speaking of here. They're behind bars, and I send these men to them because the Bible said, I was sick and in prison and you visited me not. And these people are responding. Sometimes we get letters out of prisons and our radio broadcast that goes out into the foreign islands of the fields come into those cells and they tell what it does for them as they hear the word of God. So then preaching the word of God, want to be clean. Why do I want to be clean in my heart? I want to be clean in my heart because, beloved friend, let me tell you something. I said this morning that the church is sealed in. The church has always been sealed in. This was given to us in foreknowledge by Christ before the world ever was. The church has always been sealed in. The church has never sinned against God. Do you realize that a person cannot be a virgin? A person cannot be a virgin, man or woman, unless they kept themselves pure. And there's been no defilement in their lives. No defilement. And do you realize that the bride of Christ is a virgin? Paul said, I seek to present you to God as a chaste virgin. And the Bible said He's coming after a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And the Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin. He keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. He is without spot, which means before the world ever was, in Christ I was a virgin unto God. I was clean unto God. And I have been that way in God's sight. God is not going to take to himself a bride that has been a harlot. Somebody says, well, she's been a harlot, but God's going to bring her back and make a virgin out of her. You know better than that. Well, how can you take a harlot and bring her back and make a virgin out of her? That don't make no kind of sense. Somebody says, well, she was out in sin, Brother Pike. She was a harlot. God's going to bring her back, purge her from all of that, and make a virgin out of her. No, that can't be. God isn't going to do any such thing. She is the virgin. She's always been a virgin. She's never sinned against God. She was kept by the foreknowledge of God, and God saved her in his foreknowledge, and she's been holy and virtuous and godly ever since by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible tells us that God saved us while we were yet in our sins. So then, being born into this world and being in sin, we come into this world, we do wrong things, we stumble, but we are still a virgin. Someone would say, how could that be, Brother Pike? Because we've never come to a knowledge of sin. Therefore, there is no conscience of sin. There is nothing on the inside of us that is depraved or ugly or degraded. So then God keeps us. And then when we come to the knowledge of God, we accept God and the Spirit of God comes in and seals our spirit, that our spirit can never be touched. Though we stumble in body, though we're erring in body, yet that's not what counts with God. For the flesh profiteth nothing. He burns it up, he brings it up, he puts it together again. The thing that God is concerned about is your heart and your spirit. And I say this to you so many times. Folks, all things are lawful to me, but all things don't edify. There's nothing unclean of itself, Paul said. But to him that esteemeth the thing to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So then all things being sanctified by prayer, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things don't edify. So I don't mess with all things. You understand what I'm saying? I am looking to God to keep my heart clean, for out of the heart cometh forth thoughts of adultery and fornication and blasphemy, and these are the things that defile a man. Jesus said there's nothing that goes into a man that can defile him, but rather that comes out of the heart. So, I preach to you that we've got to have a purifying by the Spirit of God. It's got to purify our heart, and he does that through faith in the righteousness of the Son of God. When I believe in the righteousness of the Son of God, then my sins are taken away by the body that has been smitten at Calvary, and my spirit going to God who gave it, for I am buried in a watery grave as to death. My spirit of death goes to God who gave it. God's spirit has purified my heart. I am going down as to him who was delivered from my offenses. I am coming up as him that appeared in another form, the Bible said, that was raised again for my justification. So then we see that the heart is what counts. If a young girl was taken out here and abused, if she had been abused, molested, and that girl had been stolen off, and that girl had been overpowered, that does not mean that that girl is a harlot. So then there is nothing in her heart, nothing in her spirit that has submitted to any of the debauchery. And she is torn, and she is afraid, and she's scared. Her whole life is wrecked because there was nothing within her heart that catered to that or made allowance for that. She is not the harlot. But if a woman goes out here and gives herself to harlotry, she is a harlot. It is in her heart. It is in her spirit. She is a harlot. You can put a ribbon around her like a hog, you know, and clean her up. But that old sow will go right back to her wallowing in the mire because she is a harlot. And the man is a whoremonger. He's the same old thing. You can wash him and put a little bow tie around his neck, but he's the same old dog that laps his vomit when you turn him loose. He's just as dirty and filthy as ever. And a religious guise doesn't help that situation. You can be a wolf in sheep clothing. So then, I'm saying that if a woman gives herself in marriage, she gave herself to marriage. She gave her heart. She gave her desire. And they become one. This is why the Bible said,
whatever God has joined together. It takes the Spirit of God. See, it's a spiritual thing. Your spirit joined to another spirit. If your spirit is joined to a harlot spirit, then the Bible said two can't walk together lest they be agreed, and then are ye a harlot. But if a woman gives her spirit to her husband, that is not harlotry. That is the divine ordination of God. So then, I've not given my life to the devil. I didn't submit to the devil. It wasn't my desire to follow the devil. I didn't know anything about the situation. And when I came to understand the situation, I took my life clear away from the devil, and I come to God. But friend, let me warn you, you that come to God, you that know these things, you that know better, and then go back out into the world, what can I say? The Bible said, then are ye in harlotry. Then are ye in harlotry. Then are ye in sin. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. And the Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. So it is a thing of the Spirit. We are being joined to God by Spirit. We are coming into the recognition of our virginity. Our virginity in Christ before the world ever was. And our virginity that has continued down through the ages, which is Christ. He hath never been defiled. He hath never gone out of the presence of the Father. And so that it's not me living, but that virginity within me. It is not me living, but Christ. And therefore, I am of Christ. That makes me without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, because I will not be found in that day of my own righteousness, which is but filthy rags, but in the righteousness of the Son of God. And all of these things that I do, I'm only doing, I say again, to conform to his way, in that my nature is divine. And being partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ, my nature produces the fruits of the Spirit, and I am producing that which is of God. And my fruits is that whatever I ask in his name, he will do it for me. So then, this is why I speak of the Word. If my word abide within you, and you abide within my word, then you can ask what you will, and I will do it for you. All right, let's stand together. Let's sing this little chorus together. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him on the way. Can you see now, folks, that if you don't have this in your heart, as to a pure heart, you're never going to see God. The Bible said only the pure in heart shall see God, because God is the Spirit. God is the revealed one. God is the revelation. And the only way you can see God is by revelation. So then, you could never see God. He must purify your heart by faith. So then, to be pure in heart is the secret. Pure in heart. God is now appearing. He's coming. The Bible said he shall suddenly appear within his saints to be glorified within his saints. Within the temple, whose temples ye are. For if I go away, I'll come again. I'll come to receive you, he said. The world won't see me when I come as the Spirit of truth, because it cannot see me. For the world cannot see when good comes. Even Satan, Lucifer, has blinded the eyes of those that are in the world, that they cannot see the eyes of understanding. So then, in this that I'm speaking of, the pure in heart, he said, I'll come again. I will suddenly appear within the temple to be glorified in the temple. And all the world will come and kneel before you and know that I've loved you. And Christ is now appearing. He's now appearing within the heart of mankind. And if you don't have a pure heart, it doesn't matter if you're religious. It doesn't matter if you come to Bethlehem. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. Pentecostal, UPC, whatever. Catholic, doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with it. Doesn't matter who your preacher is. If you're not pure in heart, God purifies the heart by faith, and faith by the hearing of the word. And I preach the word to you.
so that you can have this wonderful purification. You can have it. If you're willing, you can eat the good of the Lamb. But you can see how that you're going to be lost. You can see how you're going to be lost. Because of your mode of thinking, your mind, and those things that come out of your heart. And that your hunger and thirst is not for the virtues of God. You're not hungering and thirsting after the Word of God, nor the virtues of God, but you're still thirsty after the things of the world. And that proves that the love of the world is in your heart. And the Bible says, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. So if you keep not His commandments, you don't love Him. You might as well confess it. You might as well acknowledge it. There's no in between. If you don't keep His commandments, you don't love Him. And if you don't love Him, you can't go. Can you sing that again? Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. For where He leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with Him, with Him. Oh, the way He will give me His grace and His glory. Can you sing that with me? He will give me of His grace and His glory. He will give me of His grace and glory, and He'll go with me, all the way. For He leads me, and I will follow. For He leads me, and I will follow. Wherever He leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with Him all the way. The altars are open. Where He leads me, I will follow. And the Bible said, wherever I am, there shall my disciple be also. So then when He begins to woo your spirit, will your spirit follow? The Bible said He is the God, the Heavenly Father, the God of spirit. And when He woos your spirit and when He calls to your spirit, can you hear Him? The Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Satan is a stranger. In the days of David was said, and a stranger came by. And he is a stranger, he is a thief, and he is a robber. And he comes by to mislead you. So tonight, will you follow the stranger, or will you follow the voice of God? Where He leads me, I we'll follow. Can you come on to the altar tonight? It might be good that all of you come tonight. This is Christmas night. This is Christmas night. The day of this Christmas will never come again. Never. And this Christmas has great significance. Great and mighty significance. So it might be good if all of us come tonight. I'll go with Him. With Him. All the way. For where He leads me, I will follow. For where He leads me, I will follow. leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with him all the way.
Sing it one more time.
For he leads me, and I will follow. Jesus leads me, and I will follow. For where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him, all the way.
And someone would say, why do you get up and pray in the nighttime, Brother Pike? I get up and pray in the nighttime because of one thing, and it goes like this. Where he leads, I see him get up. I see him leading me to a chair or leading me somewhere to kneel down. I see him kneel down and I just follow him.
For where he leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with him, far across the bridge, there's no more sorrow.
Follow him over the bridge.
Across the bridge. Can you sing it with me? There's no more pain, for the sun will shine. The river and I'll never be unhappy again.
Can you sing it with me?
Far across the bridge, there ain't no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there ain't no more pain. Or the one will shine across the river, and I'll never be on.
Can you sing one more time with me?
Or across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun will shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy.
Just one more time. Can you come up here, David Ball?
Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. For the sun will across the bridge, and I'll never be unhappy again.
One more time.
Far across